One of the big opportunities right now is virtual summits. And I'm a big virtual summit advocate. I have done a lot of them. I'm doing 2 virtual summits each month. So that's why I'm super excited to bring on our guest, who is a virtual summit launching pro. He also has a software as a service, virtual summits software, which makes virtual summits easier to host than ever before. Our guest also helps side hustlers scale their businesses at Hustle and Scale so they could become 6-figure and then 7-figure scalers as well. So our guest who joins us is none other than Dr. Mark T. Wade. Mark, welcome to the show.
What is up, everybody? Stoked to be here.
Mark, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success and virtual summits. I mean, this is just such the ripe opportunity for being able to embrace it. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, for people who aren't sure what a virtual summit is, we'll just get super basic really quick on how to start one and just what kind of opportunity they provide.
Yeah. So a virtual summit, just to start with that, is essentially a pre-recorded online event. If you think like virtual conference, if you will, that solves a problem or a series of problems by bringing topic or industry experts on to talk about those problems. Now, they are typically free to attend, and they end at a certain time, and they have the ability to maintain access to that with a purchase of an all-access pass. So it's really great for building a community, building a list, but also some monetization opportunities. Now, there's different types of summits. So typical multi-day summits are anywhere from about 3 days upwards of like 14 days, with about 4 being the sweet spot. And they can have anywhere from around 20 speakers upwards of like 80 speakers, with around 35 being the sweet spot. So it's a pretty incredible way to get your message out to the world. It's also what I call a collaborative marketing strategy, because you're leveraging the expertise, the credibility, the audience, of the experts that are on your summit. Now, there's different types. That's a multi-day summit. We specialize in the one-day summit, which is just like it sounds. It's 1 day, but it doesn't mean it's a full day in content. It just means that your audience has 1 day to consume it. And it has anywhere from about 5 speakers upwards of 15, with like 8 to 10 being the sweet spot. So much, much less, as you can see. It's like going to be much easier to put on, simpler. But the reason I really like the one-day summit, I love multi-day summits. We run 2 to 4 multi-day summits every year, 4 to 8 one-day summits, and at least 1 summit series. But the reason I like the one-day summit is because of how tactical you can get with it. Essentially, if you have depending on whatever promotion, campaign, or objective you have in your business, if you put a one-day summit on the front end of that, it's going to increase the conversions to that next promotion, because it's increasing know, like, and trust, as well as motivation and engagement.
And I mean, that one-day summit of 5 to 15 people, that's so much easier to enter. My first summit was the Content Marketing Success Summit. We had a whopping 57 speakers for that one. So, I was doing podcasts before, so it was easier for me, but don't do your first summit with 57 speakers. That's not easy. But I am interested in hearing how do you use it to build your list? Because I do feel like I've heard of people who they do a virtual summit. They hear about this guy who gets like 10,000 subscribers or something like that, a case study. And they're like, why did I only get like less than 100, because virtual summits take so much time. So what's your approach to make them worthwhile in getting people on your list?
The first thing I'll say is it really is not about the size of the list. It's kind of a misconception. Everybody is assuming, I mean, we hear it so much from influencers and gurus, and they got 100,000 people on their list or 500,000 people on their list. And we all think we need to have a big list to be successful. My first $136,000 launch came from a list of 900. Literally 2 months ago, I ran a summit, which was a niche within a niche, and it did 1,700 leads, which is not bad at all, but it did almost $200,000. So the point is, don't worry about it being a 10,000 or 20,000 person summit. Now, that's possible. Like, we've run 30,000 people summits, but it's also a big headache too. It's a lot of customer service you're dealing with. So what I would suggest, and we'll get into exactly how to get the traffic, but what I would suggest is, first, mindset here is understand most of the live conference, like in-person conferences in the world, are under 1,000 people. And about half of those are actually under 500 people. So if you got 500 to 1,000 people on your summit, you're like on par with most live conferences, in-person conferences. If you get over 1,000, like that would be an event host's dream come true. Sponsors would be lining up for their booths, you know, to pay you to be on it. So remember that. Keep that mindset. The most important aspect is understanding who you're serving and why. Okay. So you got to think before we actually get into driving the traffic for the summit, you got to start with, why are you doing the summit? What's happening after your summit? Do you have a course? Do you have a coaching program? Do you have a mastermind or a membership? Whatever you have that is the reason you're trying to build this audience, you got to start there. That is a solution. Inside of that solution, you're solving problems for your audience. So pick one or two or three of those problems, and that's what you're going to design your summit around. And you need to be more specific, more narrow, more niche than broad. Because if you go broad, and this is one of the reasons I like the one-day summit, is because you get to be super specific. What happens is we're becoming ninjas at deflecting information. People are like, boom, boom, bang, bow. You know, like it's like not today info. So you got to be really good at getting that. It's got to be specific. They're going, I have a problem. I'm looking for the solution to that problem. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting, but it doesn't solve the problem. Not interested. So the more specific you get, the more it's going to bring on a qualified and engaged lead. Okay. So it's going to have less leads. You're going to have less people on that summit, but they're more qualified. They're more engaged. That converts into more money on the back end. So you start with that. Now, when you actually set it up and you run it like that, you have it more specific, more narrowed, more niche, and you're solving the problem. Now this audience that you bring on, again, 1,000, 500, 5,000, whatever, is going to convert into cash. Otherwise, a lot of those summits, Mark, like we both know about, that have done 10 and 20,000 people persons virtual summits, they've made less money on those than some of the summits I've done that have had 1,000 leads on it. So I just want to clarify that before we kind of move forward into this.
That's a good point. And I do feel like you could have some like super affiliates. Like I feel like those are the types of summits that get those numbers. You're also running, I feel like you got to run Facebook ads and stuff like that to be getting that type of an audience. So with the one-day summit or with even a multi-day summit, getting a few hundred or over 1,000 attendees, I mean, that's something you can do without running a single ad. And a big part of that, though, is not just you promoting, but getting speakers to promote. So how do you get speakers who then decide they're going to promote the summit to their tribe?
The most common mistake summit hosts make when trying to get speakers is thinking, I want to get the influencer. I want to get that big name. I want to get Tony Robbins, Lewis Howes, you know, John Lee Dumas, whatever. And they think that that's going to build their summit because they're like, well, that person has a big name. Everybody knows them. And they got a huge list. If they email, it'll make my summit so successful. The problem is they are not going to email for you. Okay. That's just the case. They'll speak on it and it's cool. If you're doing a multi-day summit, having one anchor, one or two, or maybe three names is cool. But you cannot depend on them to be the ones to fill your summit. I love filling my summits with micro influencers, with topic experts. So they're not going to have lists of like 100,000, but they may have lists of, you know, 3 to 10,000. But here's the cool thing is they're actually probably more, they have a higher expertise than some of those big names we're talking about as well. So their content is going to be more relevant, more valuable. But before you pick the speaker, you got to go back to what is the reason you're running the summit? What's the problem? So when you identify that problem, now identify, if we're doing a one-day summit, for example, we're going to pick one problem and identify five solutions to that problem. If you're running a multi-day summit, you're going to have 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 problems. Identify solutions to each of those problems. Those solutions become your sessions. And that then identifies the speaker you need to have on it. So now that you're more clear on who the speaker is, you're getting a speaker because they can speak on this topic, not because they have a name or a list. So that's going to also help increase your speaker agreeance rate, which or conversion, which is them being like, yeah, of course I'll speak on that because it relates. Like, for example, if Mark would have reached out to me and said, hey, I'd love for you to come talk on podcasting because you have a podcast, it's true. I have a podcast, but I don't speak on podcasting. I speak on summits. So it's if now when you come to me and say, Mark, I want you to teach on summits, it's like, heck yeah, that's my zone of genius. It's my passion. So I'm down to do it. It's going to be the same for the speakers you're reaching out for. Now, now that they're saying more are saying yes, here's a couple of the keys to get them to promote. You've already increased the likelihood because they're a micro influencer. It looks good for them to be on your summit. That's a key thing to understand too, is when you host a summit, you have a platform. Everybody in the world is looking for platforms. Celebrities are looking for talk shows. Those are platforms to be on. You know, experts are looking for podcasts, for summits, for live events. Those are all platforms. So as soon as you become the host of whatever summit, you now own and have a platform that makes it valuable, makes you valuable. So know that and own it. So now these speakers want to be seen with these other experts. It looks good for all of us. If I'm on a summit with other experts in the field, it makes me look good. I want to share it. Now that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to email it. So now you got to go a little bit further. So you're going to get some attention from it. Social media is cool, but it doesn't convert the way emails do. Okay. So the aspect with that is you got to think outside the box. You got to get creative. If you do an interview with your topic expert that he's done 100 times or she's done 100 times, why would they share that to their audience? Their audience has already seen it 30, 40 times, right? You got to do something fun, creative, and outside the box. So how could you get creative? So you could add live streaming components, which are cool. I mean, that's awesome. We just talked about how summits are typically pre-recorded. But if we're thinking outside the box here, okay, like the simplest, easiest way to do pre-recorded, typical, standard, traditional Q&A interview. Boring. Okay, let's make it a little bit more fun. The next step is you could do a hybrid, where you do an intro on the front end, some Q&A on the back end, but then the speaker just presents some topic, almost like a hybrid masterclass interview. But let's go even more crazy. Like, why not spice it up a little bit? Let's like make your summit a theme, create a mission around it, create a reason for it, create a theme built into it, and then have the speakers dress up as something, have the speakers, you know, show their, you know, a talent, a hidden talent. I'm just throwing things out there. But if you do something like that, that's fun and it looks, you know, like it's fun and makes the speaker look good at the same time, that's something they want to share to their audience because it's new and different. The other thing is try different types of sessions. So when we're crafting our summits, we have different themes of our summits. So for example, we have a theme called Summit Talks. So these are TED Talk styled summit. So yes, there'll be some interviews throughout, but most of the sessions are 7 to 18 minute full video of the person, like not a talking head, doing a presentation. And then we splice in their PowerPoint with it and we make it look like a TED Talk. We do summit stories, which is a Netflix style theme, which means we create a storyline from the beginning to the end and we follow one person through it. And then we fill the rest out with other things. Now, and we do a docu-summit theme. So those are obviously more complex. For your first one, please don't do that. You'll be like, Mark, why did you tell me that? But what I'm saying is you can do some other things that are simple and easy, but also creative and unique. Why not do a panel, live or not live? Why don't you do a workshop instead of a 20-minute or a 30-minute, do a 90-minute to a 2-hour, better if it's live, but even if not, interactive workshop where at the end of that, the audience actually walks away with something completed and finished. You could also do hot seats. You could do a live hot seat. You could do roundtables. Zoom has the ability to break out into breakout rooms, and you could have people even an attendee-led breakout session. So the biggest thing is to get creative. You do that, especially if you can align it with a bigger purpose or a bigger reason, your speakers are going to want to share it and want to be involved. The last little piece of it is it's relationships. Build a relationship with your speaker. So don't just hit them up with an email that's like, hey, how big is your list? And you have to promote 6 times to be on this summit. They'll tell you yes, but they're not going to do it. And I'm telling you right now, most speakers are not loving getting those type of requests anyways. A lot of them are just saying straight up no. So first off, take a second. So this is the process. If I want to connect with, let's say, an anchor or an influencer that I want to connect with, that I want to have on my summit, and I really would love the likelihood of them promoting, you know, what I'm going to do is this strategy. Now, you aren't going to do this strategy for everyone because it's going to take a little bit more time, but look at like the most valuable speaker or opportunity you have and implement this. So I find that person, and you got to start out a couple months out, 3-4 months out, maybe find that person and I join their community. So I get in their Facebook groups, in their Facebook community, and I start to engage. When they post stuff, I post relevant, I respond relevant. I show them that I've heard what they've said, I've processed it, and I'm grateful for it. I buy something from them. I become a customer. Now, you don't have to buy their $2,000 course. You can buy their $27 intro thing. But as soon as you become a customer, you're at a whole other level than everybody else. We all take care of our customers. So as soon as you've done that, you're at the next tier. So then you're engaging in their group. Trust me, if you're posting positive stuff and engaging on a regular basis, it could be daily or it could be like once a week. But as long as you're doing it consistently, influencers, they recognize that. We're so used to seeing criticisms regularly that when we see a positive message, that's an interrupt. That's a pattern interrupt for most influencers. You're sitting there thinking, oh, they get 10,000 posts a day. But if you're consistently doing it and sharing something positive, showing that you're not just fluffing them, you're actually consuming the information, being like, hey, Mark, that was a really great tip you gave on the podcast on how to implement a one-day summit. I'm going to do one like this. That stands out to us. We know you're actually paying attention. Then you send an email to them and it's going to go to their gatekeeper. It's going to go to their assistant. But here's the key. You send a positive message email saying, hey, Mark, I've got your, behind the scenes of a mega summit program. I loved it. So beneficial. I follow your podcast. It's been incredible for me. I'm working on a summit right now and I wanted to reach out and say that I am very grateful to be a part of your community. Thank you. No ask, just a compliment. Those gatekeepers, those assistants, they're the ones seeing the negative emails, the people that are upset because you posted the wrong pronoun or something, you know, like you've done something, like the people are angry right now. So people are voicing that through emails, and those assistants are the ones seeing it. So as soon as they get a positive message, they get excited and they want to show you because they're like, look at this. Somebody said super positive things. So that gets through the gatekeeper, through the assistant quicker than anything. Then you follow up again a week, 3 to 7 days after that with your ask. And again, same thing. I'm a big fan. I'm a part of the community. I'm a customer and I love what you just posted last week. Make it relevant so they know that you know what they're doing. I'm putting together something that I think would be beneficial. One, for me to highlight you, influencer, to my audience. So it sounds like you're giving something, not that you're asking for something. It's always better to make it sound like a give. Try to give it versus just asking. And then you say, I'd love, here's more information. Don't write out a page long email. Link to another spot where the information is. We do like speaker info pages where I have videos, text, et cetera, that explains all the content, all the information on the summit. And then we link to that. But then I say, we're putting together this event and be creative with how you say it and would love to feature you and yada, yada. That right there is not going to be a yes every time, but it's going to dramatically increase it. Yes, is it a lot of work? True. But if you're trying to get somebody like Lewis Howes or Amy Porterfield or whoever, on there, then you need to do that. The other thing I would say with that is don't be so focused on the influencer. Be focused on a influencer, because it's not about getting John Lee Dumas. It's about getting somebody at John Lee Dumas's level. The reason I say that is every single person, no matter how high up they are, at some point or another has to promote themselves. They either have a new promotion coming, they got a new book launch coming, they've had a smear campaign, they feel irrelevant, whatever. Two perfect examples of this is like four or five months ago now, Jack Canfield, from author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, you can't get him on a podcast. He does not take interviews, but he had a new book coming out. The month of his book launch, he took every single interview request that came out. So he did over 1,000 interviews, summits, podcasts, etc. Another one is a few months ago, Tony Robbins and Dean Gracios, they had a new big program they were launching. Tony and Dean took almost every single interview request that came their way. So you can't say, I can't get Tony Robbins on my podcast or my summit. You just got to be at the right time. You may not be able to get Tony Robbins, but you can get somebody at that level.
We've got more great content coming up in this episode, but first we have a message from our sponsor.
Have you wanted to train your dog but didn't know how or even where to begin? The book from Northern California renowned dog trainer and author Steve Ryder. From Sit to Gun Dog is the resource you have been looking for. From Sit to Gun Dog has been a year in the making. This must-read book was written for anyone looking to train their next hunting or family companion. From basic obedience training to hunt training, From Sit to Gun Dog takes you every step of the way. Steve Ryder has always said that beside every well-trained dog is a happy and proud owner. From Sit to Gun Dog is perfect for every dog owner and makes a great gift for the dog lovers in your life. From Sit to Gun Dog, from author and dog trainer Steve Ryder, is available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and the website dogsofthefeather.com. Available in hardcover, paperback, and Kindle editions. Order your copy right now. From Sit to Gun Dog, from author and dog trainer Steve Ryder.
And I really love how the focus here that Mark is saying is build the relationship deeper. I mean, some people you can go right up with the ask and you can invite them to be on your summit and they will. But for people who you want to have on your summit and maybe you've known them for a bit, or they're like someone who you really want to have and you have time to build relationships, you can buy someone's book or program or whatever it may be. So you're elevated on that whole new level. Now, it is interesting, you were mentioning earlier, like not getting a whole ton of attendees. I know it's on par with like what you would see in a conference, but like you're still getting a few hundred attendees. You're making a lot of revenue though. So how does that happen? What does your upsell order sequence and different products look like?
You can definitely have more than 100. I'm not saying your summit should only have 100 people on it. Like most summits, so anything over 10,000 is like a 1% summit. Like anything over 10,000, you've done a summit that's like in the top 1%. There's on average, or there was last year, on average about 35 to 4,000 summits a year. This year, we're seeing a dramatic increase in that because everybody's going to virtual events. It's probably going to triple this year. The point is, like I would say a middle ground is around that 5,000 mark. Now, a big chunk on the bottom side are under 2,000. So that's just kind of letting you know where it falls, especially if it's your first summit. But if it's your first summit, what I say with that is don't focus on most summit hosts, when they set up their first summit, they focus on it being perfect. Your first summit is not going to be your best summit. Your third summit will be your best summit. And then your sixth summit will be your best summit. So don't worry about it being perfect. Worry about being proud. If you're proud of it, go forward with it. Don't wait till it's perfect. Now, with that being said, you can monetize it. It starts again, like I said, end in mind. The more aligned that problem is with the post-summit offer, which we'll talk about here in just a second, the more aligned that is, the higher the conversions, the more money you're going to make. So on average, a typical summit, depending on the offer, depending on the audience, can do easily between $2,000 and $10,000. I mean, that's pretty common. And the cool thing with the summit, if you're not running ads, it's called a self-liquidating offer. It's one of the only things, the only marketing strategies in the world where you can not pay money, build an audience, and make money. Like it just doesn't happen anywhere else. Like the summit I did that had 26,000 leads on it, I didn't pay, or actually we did $3,000 in ad spend. But if I wanted to buy 26,000 leads, it would have been over $100,000 in ad spend. So with that being said, your offer needs to align with the problem. So we call it a summit offer. Typically, you're going to have 2 to 3 tiers of that offer. A lower end tier, which is just going to be what we call an all access pass, which is ongoing access to the summit interviews, to the videos, to the sessions. Now, the other offer, the higher offer, let's say 167, the other one's like 119. Okay. The other offer, what I recommend is don't make it about the all access packs. Make it something, a program, a solution to the problem that the summit's based about. And you can also reach out to your speakers and have them provide something and position it as almost like a step one, step two, step three to getting that solution. So like my summit that we did, Summit Scripts, was email copy for virtual summit hosts, right? So a niche within a niche. The offer was getting access to the summit speakers or to the people's email copy, right? So that aligned directly with what the problem was that the audience had. So that's step number one. Now, I always say your summit is not your monetization strategy. It's your relationship building strategy. Your summit is where you build a relationship with this audience. It's where you create know, like, and trust, get them engaged. And now after the summit is where we continue the customer journey. This is where what we call the post-summit profit strategy. And honestly, you can do about anything as long as it aligns with that problem. But our process is we go from the summit, what we call magnetize, attracting an audience, to the next step is monetize, which is a single solution to a problem, usually an info or digital program like a course, medium priced. Your summit is going to be the lower tiered price. And then the next step is the maximization. This is our transformation step. This is a higher ticket offer. And this is where we create the whole transformation. Now, keep in mind, I'm a huge nerd. You probably all realize that by now. I have two doctorates. You don't get two doctorates unless you're a nerd. And I nerd out on summits too, but I love the psychology of the summit. And so what I'm actually talking about right now is the normal human mentality of a buyer mentality, psychology. So this is psychology of a buyer mentality. So it goes from magnetize. You take a cold lead and turn it into a warm lead. Then you monetize. You have a single solution to a problem. You're not trying to solve everything. You solve one thing in a bite-sized chunk so they know you can get them results. And then they go from a warm lead to a hot lead. And that's when they go into, or not hot lead, but a hot customer. That's when they go into the transformation. So this is a high ticket offer. So maybe it's a certification, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, mastermind, a live event, whatever. And then from there, you go into membership or multiply, which is the membership. This is your reoccurring revenue. So this is now you've solved all the problems. This is where now they've built a relationship with you. They don't want to go build a relationship with somebody else. They trust you. They just want to keep coming back to you for the information. And you don't have to have all the information. You just need to be the place they get it. So that's when you bring other experts on to teach different topics outside of your expertise. So that's what we call the customer journey or the post-summit profit strategy.
And with that customer journey, specifically for the post-summit, because there's a post-summit strategy and then there's after the post-summit sequence, then it could be like affiliate offers, books, and other stuff like that. How long do you carry out the customer journey post-summit? Is it 2 weeks of emails, 3 weeks? What's your approach on that?
So the communication sequence we do is I'll start it from the summit. They opt in for the summit. We start our email communication. We have a forward facing and a countdown sequence. So we have two sequences. Forward facing is an indoctrination sequence that just builds relationships, gets them on board. Countdown sequence is the technology aspect, like anything they need to know, plus any kind of early bird offer. Then you have the summit live sequence, which is 2, 3, 4 emails during the summits, you know, each day of the summit. And then you have the last chance sequence. So that's like the summit's closing or ending. This is your last opportunity to get the offer. And you can have all kinds of different offers from diminishing bonus to incremental price increase to literally just last chance. And then from there, we move into the post-summit profit strategy. So I like to have what we call post-summit engagement strategy as well. Something that keeps the audience engaging with me for about anywhere from 3 to 7 days. And there's no exact number. It's just kind of like, how quickly do you need to get your revenue going and how much time do you have, like, kind of deal. So 3 to 7 days they're engaging. Usually we'll do an engagement strategy like performer or self-discovery or, you know, something that they do and then they report back type of deal. Then, you know, we're communicating with them during that. As long as you have a reason that's valuable to them to communicate, it's okay. They don't mind getting an email every day or every other day about that, as long as it's something that they're engaging with. Then we go into that monetization. So then we send out anywhere from, you know, depends on, is it a full-blown launch or is it like a flash sale? You know, so anywhere from 2 to 4 to 7 emails. Then, so that's 3 to 7 days out. Then we go to the maximization, which is the high ticket. So from there, that'll be usually anywhere from 7 to 14 days after. So we still engage, but not every day. So now we're sending out maybe 2 to 3 emails a week for that 7 to 14 days, that 1 to 2 weeks. And then we go into a full on launch. So if it is, a certification or a live event, whatever, we're doing like a full-blown 7 to 12 email series kind of launch. And then after that, we'll pitch. A lot of times we'll actually like add the membership as a upsell to each of those. So if they get the membership at any point, we don't, they don't get hit with that. If they haven't bought it, then after that, they get it. The one thing I forgot to mention is monetization with the summit. Yes, I said your summit's not your monetization strategy, it's your relationship building strategy, but you should still make money on your summit. Okay. You should still make money. The focus is just not to hammer them too hard with a sales sequence and a sales kind of feeling, because then you'll break that trust. Like, the whole point is know, like, and trust, so you can monetize after. But with that being said, you have your summit offer. Now, if you just left it at a summit offer, you'll make money, but you're leaving a ton of money on the table. So we highly recommend having like an order bump and then one or two upsells after that. So my Summit Script Summit, which did 1700 leads. Okay. So relatively, you know, small in the scope of, like, remember I said, like, you know, 5,000, 10,000, like, whatever. I'm totally happy with that. It was a niche within a niche, 1700 leads. The summit itself, like just the summit offer, did around $14,000 or $15,000. But with the upsell order bump, we had two upsells on the back end of it. It did a total of $25,000. And then when we took that to our post-summit profit strategy, it did over $170,000. Or I think it was $160,000. So total almost $200,000 from an audience of 1,700.
Wow. And I know you have Virtual Summit software, which is monthly. So I'm sure that just compounds the revenue. Do you have like a really high end thing? Like, I know some people do like 2,000, 5,000. Like, what would you say is your like top ticket high end price point?
My product suite for my company. So it is important to have a product suite. And as you get in business or you're in business longer, the important thing not to do is to not to confuse your customers. So you don't want 100 things. You don't want, you know, a ton of stuff. You want one direct path where they know to go. So this is obviously, we're not talking summits here specifically. We're talking business, but my product suite for my business in the summit space is I have, and this is how I would design a product suite if I were you. It's do it yourself, done with you, done for you. And they elevate in that order. Do it yourself is going to be lower priced. Right below that, you're actually going to have like a generic membership, like a low price membership. Okay. Then you have, do it yourself right above that is going to be add group coaching onto that. Like a group coaching program onto that course, which will increase the profit for that. The done with you is usually like a workshop. It could be a virtual workshop. It could be an in-person workshop, but they are getting more access to you as they go up this tier. And then do it done for you is something that you're going to be doing for them, or it could be like a one-on-one coaching program. So my product suite is we have just a generic like $97 membership. We don't even really push that. Our do it yourself is our Summit Accelerator program. It's access to our online trainings, but we sell it with the group coaching attached to it. Mm-hmm. So they buy the program and then it's a monthly membership. It's $300. It's $1,000 up front and then $300 ongoing after that. The done with you is our virtual summit workshop. We used to do those in person. Right now we've just transferred over to everything being virtual, which feels more in alignment anyways, but still, in 3 days, we will help you build out your summit. Like, you're building out, we're there with you. But at the end of those 3 days, instead of taking 3 months or 4 months, you have your summit done. Templates, speaker packages, offers, et cetera, summit platform. That's a $2,500 offer. And then, and honestly, that should be higher, but right now we don't feel comfortable raising it just because of the economic situation that's going on. But usually that would be between $2,000 and $5,000. Okay, well, I'll come back to price points. Our higher end offer is our done for you service called Viral Summits Concierge. This is where we will literally build out everything with your summit. So price points. And these are ranges, but like usually membership, low end membership, anywhere from $9 to like, you know, $100 a month. Do it yourself is usually around $500 to about $2,000. If you add group coaching, you usually add an extra $1,000 or $2,000 to that. The done with you is usually between $2,000 and $10,000. So it depends on where you're at in your business, your level of influence in your blah, 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 but $2,000 to $10,000. And then the done for you is anywhere between 10,000 on up, 10,000 to 30,000. Some people even have 50,000. Now you can add a mastermind to the top end of that if you wanted to, for like a higher end reoccurring revenue strategy. So like a, you know, 500 to 2,000 a month strategy.
And I really love how you break that down. And I mean, I feel like we've had all the different things from starting a summit to getting leads for a summit and having that profitable summit, because I do agree, like, it's all on the back end. Like, you do get virtual summit, all access pass or lifetime pass sales, but it's stuff on the back end where you hear about these people making a lot of money through virtual summits. They're selling something on the back end. And if you do connect it to the summit, like Mark is saying, I mean, a few hundred super targeted, super engaged attendees, which pretty much is what any virtual summit attendee is. And you're talking about thousands upon thousands of dollars just from a single summit.
Absolutely. That's the key right there.
And do you find it more difficult to do marketing for a one-day summit versus like a 2 or 3 day summit, since you have fewer speakers, or do you see yourself just fine even in that scenario?
Marketing's easier because messaging is clear with a one-day summit. However, when it comes to audience size, you're obviously going to generate less of an audience with a one-day summit than with a multi-day summit. Like, if you've got 40 speakers promoting, you're going to get big, more people sign up than if you've got 10 speakers promoting. The thing I really enjoy, here's my suggestion. Anybody who's getting started for the first time, they should just do a one-day summit, because if you do a one-day summit, you learn how it's done. And then if you want to do a multi-day summit after that, it's like a piece of cake. You just add more speakers, you add more components, you got it. But you've done the mistakes and learned the process with 5 to 10 speakers versus with 40, which becomes much harder to juggle. But once you know it, you've got it. But what I personally believe is the best opportunity for brands and businesses right now is a one-day summit series. So you pick the frequency. This could be a limited summit series or an ongoing summit series. Limited summit series, anywhere from 2 to 6, but essentially has an end date. An ongoing summit series is you set a frequency. Maybe it's weekly, maybe it's twice a month, maybe it's once a month or once a quarter, but it happens ongoing forever. But essentially, obviously you can quit it whenever you want, but the idea is to let it keep going. And so you're not going to generate 10,000 leads on that. But if you generate, let's say you're doing it monthly, you generate 1,000 or 500 every month. At the end of the year, that's like 6,000 leads, and you didn't pay for those, and you got paid for those, and you have brand awareness, and you connected with speakers. So it's like win, 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 win. But even unlike a multi-day summit, which will bring you a ton, like, you know, bring you a lot of exposure and awareness and attention, it will die off by the end of the year. That's why a lot of, like, most successful businesses, they run a annual multi-day summit, which is very smart. But even in between that, if you had a summit series that happened, you know, every other month or something like that, it continues to keep awareness, engagement with your audience. We're seeing a lot of, right now, I'm working with a lot of like in-person event hosts to actually transfer the ones that are having to add virtual components to their business are doing this. But even the ones that are still, they have a in-person event are like, I need to keep engagement with my audience from now till next year. We're in the process of implementing summit series for them to keep that happening. And it's also a great way, if you have sponsors or affiliates, to give them a way to access the audience more ongoing for the year. So you can even increase your sponsorship fees, et cetera.
Yeah. And I mean, the great thing about doing more summits is you can be more confident, like, you know, I expect to get this many attendees, and that just makes it easier to approach sponsors. And I am wondering like how you approach them. Like, for a podcast, like, your numbers are pretty set, you keep doing it, but the summit's just like a one-time launch unless you make it evergreen, which is something I like to do. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, how do you go about pitching a sponsor? Like, do you just share like past summit results, or do you say who's speaking? Like, what's your approach for that?
Ideally, you'd create like a sponsored deck, which outlines who's the audience, what your expected goals are, and the benefits for them being on your summit. It does not have to be all about the list size, but remember, most of these exhibitors or sponsors are at conferences that have 100 people or 500 people or maximum like 1,000 people. So if you get more than 1,000 people there, you're doing great. So you can comparatively say, look, you normally pay $10,000 or $25,000 to go to that conference there and they have 400 people. Well, we anticipate doing 2,000 people or 1,000 people, and I'm only going to charge you 1,000 or 2,000. So there's that option. There's also like, there's plenty of ways to make it beneficial for your sponsors. Give them opportunities to essentially, what do sponsors want? They want sales. How do they get sales? Exposure to potential customers. So give them an opportunity to speak on the summit. Give them an opportunity to build their audience from the summit. Like, you let them give away a freebie for a list builder. Give them a solo email during the summit, and or allow them some post-summit opportunities. Like, write a blog, or they can do a Facebook Live to the group, or they get another promotional email, or you'll co-host a webinar with them. Like, all of these things are beneficial for sponsors if it's the right audience. So when you're reaching out to sponsors, make sure that the sponsor's customer is directly related to the audience you're going to be building for the summit.
Mark, I've done a lot of virtual summits and I'm learning so many new things from our conversation. I know that you're more of a summits guy, but you do have a podcast too, which we will link to. I do encourage everyone to check that out. But in addition to your podcast, where else do we go to keep following you on your journey?
Best ways to hang out with me is in our Facebook community, Viral Summits. Bunch of thought leaders with messages getting out to the world there. We do a lot of freebies, information on hosting summits, as well as hooking speakers and hosts up together. The other thing you can do is, if you want to just hang out with me on my Instagram, follow my personal Instagram is Hustle and Scale, and shoot me a DM, say hello.
We will have all those links in the show notes for everyone who wants to check Mark out. But once again, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was a pleasure having you here today.
It's been an awesome opportunity. I'll leave you all with this. Just remember, you have a message that matters and the world needs to hear it. So don't let anything hold you back from going out there and making an impact in the world. Thank you.